Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast. This is your host, Crystal Holmes. And today I bring you episode 34 with the fabulous Tandy Gutierrez. Go Hard Chicks, before we jump into today's episode, I want to ask you to leave an Apple Podcast rating and review for the Go Hard Chick podcast. If you enjoy today's episode or any of the podcast episodes, leaving an Apple Podcast rating and review really helps me to bring on guests like Tandy and many of our other fabulous Go Hard Chick guests. Now let's jump into episode 34. Go Hard Chicks, what I love about podcasting is that I have had the opportunity to meet and chat with some amazing people. People I may have never had the chance to meet otherwise. Tandy Gutierrez is definitely one of these amazing women that I am honored to have met during this podcasting journey. Tandy is the founder and creator of Unicorn Wellness, an online studio that's been bringing Tandy's unique blend of wellness and fitness to her monthly subscribers throughout the United States, Europe, Asia, and even Australia since 2013. Tandy is a mother, she's a life partner, she's a tarot reader, and she's an author. And she does all of this while thriving in an autoimmune body. She is recognized as one of the nation's most foremost Pilates experts, and she's been featured in Allure Magazine, 17, Self, Elle Magazine, and many others. She is a fabulous Go Hard Chick. We not only talk about Pilates in this episode, but we talk about health, wellness, and spirituality for women, which is so, so crucial in our wellness journeys. Go Hard Chicks, Tandy is just her passion and her drive to help women improve their lives through fitness and wellness is just infectious. I love her, and I know you will too. I don't even have the words to really just describe how fabulous Tandy is. You just have to listen, and you will find out that she is just the epitome of a Go Hard Chick. So let me close my mouth. Without further ado, welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast, Go Hard Chick, Tandy Gutierrez. Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast, Tandy. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm so good today. I'm actually like a little excited, which is, I'm always excited, but thank you for having me. I feel excitable today. It's sunny here.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that you are excited because I'm thrilled that you're here. This conversation, let's just jump in. I'm really excited about this. Now, I want the listeners to know as much about you as possible. And one thing I wanted them to know, because when we first spoke, you shared with me your journey and how you found Pilates. And I just found that to be fascinating. I just love stories. And I love how you shared even the history of Pilates, because I will admit I was Pilates ignorant. So if you would share with us how you found Pilates.
Absolutely. I love stories as well. I think our stories are the most powerful thing that we can share. And Pilates to me has been a calling card of my career for 25 years now. And it does seem that like hardly anybody knows the history of it. Like we think we know, but we don't know. So my personal story is that Pilates found me. I did not go seeking or searching. It was a part of my dance program in college. So I have a BFA in acting and a BFA in dance. And the head of the department at the time was very forward-thinking, really intelligent woman. I graduated from an all-women's college, Stevens College, little shout out, Columbia, Missouri, still there, hanging in there. But she was so smart as the head of the department to know this work, to get to know this work. She knew that it cultivated athletes and performers that were less likely to be injured, and that if they got injured, it would get them back to performing sooner, because that's the livelihood and that's the goal. And so when Pilates found me in that program, I hated it. I hated it. To this day, I say this is what makes me an excellent teacher and has given me this insane career path. I say insane because I never sought it out. It just kept dropping. The universe was very clear with me in these strange ways. So I was required to take Pilates 2 to 3 times a week, depending on the semester, for my dance degree. And I hated it. It felt uncomfortable. It was awkward. I thought it was very militaristic, which it is when we get into the history. And the reality of it is that my body needed it so badly. I came to dance late in life. I'd been a singer and a performer, and I really wanted to be a triple threat, you know? And so I auditioned, and the head dance department was like, you have talent, but like, you got no skill. And I was like, okay. And so my body was so far out of alignment that it felt restrictive and painful. And like, here I am selling it real hard, right? Like, it's like, sounds like this terrible thing, but I started to learn to love it. And it wasn't until, I was young, I was 18. So you don't really know what's good for you, long story. And we have an evaluation as dancers at the beginning of the semester and at the end of the semester. And again, the head of our department had foresight to take photos before and after. She had a PT background also. And so she would show us our before and after pictures from the year. And then by the time I got to my third year, we had all these photos. So from the very first to the very last. And it was a completely different vessel. My body was completely different, just much more like completely aligned, literally, and capable and powerful. And yet it had had some issues along the way too, because its alignment was so poor in it. So my senior year of my dance program, this was like our year, you know, the seniors get all the solos and like you're building up to it and all of these things. I ruptured my hip my senior year, and it, you know, totally pulled off the bone. I went into surgery. I had no insurance. I, you know, couldn't walk for weeks, and they were cutting solos. You know, it was like, here, sit in a chair and sing instead of this full dance thing. And so I came to understand and value and befriend Pilates through that, because I didn't have health insurance. They didn't recommend physical therapy. They sent me from the hospital home. It's like, you're going to be fine. And I was like, you do know what I do. Like, I'm moving 6 to 8 hours a day. I'm in rehearsal. I'm in class. And they're like, oh yeah, you'll be fine. And I could barely get off the couch. I was crying in small motions. I was on crutches, and I got really frustrated. And I finally was like, okay, what are all these things, you know, swirling in my head? What do I know of the Pilates work? I ended up taking what I knew and put it in the pool at school, at the college. And so I started to get better. I couldn't afford to take private lessons, but the head of our department, she would have conversations with me. And so we would kind of pick through what was helping things get better. The history of Pilates, like full circle here, is that Pilates was created as a rehab program by Joseph Pilates somewhere around, you know, 1912 to 1918. But he was a nurse in the World War. So he was trying to get military men back on the field faster. And so this work is seen as only for dancers, only for women. You have to be a dancer to like it. You have to be limber. And it's like, whoa, you're missing the whole point. The whole point of the work is to move it in alignment with anatomical positioning. If you have the bones stacked properly and in alignment, then your muscles, ligaments, and tendons fall into place and can connect better. And then you don't have misfire patterns or imbalances, or when you do, then you go back to balance them out. So I had this full circle experience of it feeling like an indoctrination of non-choice military training through injury, and then into it. It allowed me to dance again, and it allowed me to walk again even before that. And, you know, that's the nutshell. I never sought it out, I've had a very push-pull relationship with it throughout my career, but it is such a gift of a format that I feel is very missed and glazed over and really dumbed down, but it's so powerful and so healing.
See, I love that. It's just, I mean, I just love the story. I mean, Pilates in its of itself, I love that story and the history, but I love how you say it found you, you know, and it's funny how a lot of what we do, especially if we listen to the universe, it kind of lead us and guide us to where we're supposed to be, even when we think we're not supposed to be there, right?
Oh, Pilates, you know, I mean, the universe is annoyingly loud with me at times, like so loud. And post college, you know, again, Pilates kept being put in my path in these very strange and ironic ways. And I never sought out to teach it. Even after that experience, I was like, yay, I love it. I get it. Let me go back to performing and dancing. And it, you know, it just kept coming into my path. And I'm, from a very young age, like I have been willing to listen to the universe. I mean, I'm human and stubborn, but I hear it. And it kept being dropped in my path. My first certification, I worked as a like a membership, you know, a sales membership person for a fitness facility. And nobody else knew the work. This really was kind of back in the day, right? Before it was really hip and it wasn't accessible. Like it was a price point that was not accessible to people. And they offered to pay for my certification so that I could teach mat classes because I already knew the work. And it was things like that that just kept, like, I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it was like the universe drug me into this kicking and screaming.
Right.
And I was in my 20s and wanted to make an income that wasn't at a bar, you know? So I was like, okay. But it's been this beautiful unfolding of being able to help people. And again, Pilates can get very marketing centric if it's only skinny white women who do it. And it's like, it misses the whole point of the healing aspect. I had so much experience in healing and working with athletes with a huge array of clientele and age ranges that really brought the value of like those small empowerments to a person versus fitness for the aesthetics sake.
Right. And see, I love how you touched on just the marketing aspect because, I mean, you're right. I've always thought it was something women did. Like you said, skinny white women, you know.
I mean, let's be honest, right?
Like I had no idea that it had like a history in the military, you know, or from a military perspective. I didn't know these things. So I feel like a lot of us, you know, are sitting around and don't really know what Pilates is and how it could benefit us, you know, wherever we are in life. You don't have to be a dancer, I guess is what you're saying as well. So for someone like me, that's a novice to Pilates, a woman like me, what are the benefits? What is Pilates in case somebody doesn't know? And what are the benefits to someone like me?
Yeah. Pilates is it was created as a rehab program. So it's a method of movement. It is a technique, which is why it can be a little like, ooh, side eye. Jumping straight into it, you're not probably going to love it at first movement pattern. It takes some time. And, you know, that can be, what I've seen in my career is it takes about 3 months. And I know that sounds like a long time to commit to something, but it is almost like braces for your body. It's a lot of micro movements. It is focused on the core. Okay. And it's focused on core strength that every movement in your vessel will initiate first with stability in your core. And your core is the bottom of your pelvic floor all the way through the last two vertebrae in your spine. So there's so many places where this work gets really dumbed down as to be about your abs. And okay, but that would be really missing the beauty of the work. And so the goal here is that if you have a stable core, there is less risk of injury. There is a higher probability of healing. And then there is equal strength and mobility generated in the muscles, ligaments, and tendons. And so its main viewpoint on movement is balance. So there is a strong component that looks like stretching. Okay. But it is equally strengthening, but it focuses on an isometric contraction. So we know a concentric contraction is like a bicep curl, that shortening. Eccentric is if you take the curl down like a slow as you can. And isometric is if you take your two palms and you press them together and you push as hard as you can. There's equal force on both sides. So Pilates can get really heady, really nerdy, real fast. And people are like, I don't want to think that much about my movement pattern. And I go, I get it. And I think that's what makes me a good teacher. I value all that headiness. I've experienced it. But when I teach, it's just about the cueing and the connection in the vessel. So when we think about it from a movement standpoint and from fitness or wellness, it balances the body. It will tighten what's loose in your vessel and loosen what's tight.
Ah, I like that.
Right? Because it cultivates core strength. And then it allows a freedom. So, you know, for me, I come as a hypermobile body, as a dancer. Not all dancers are hypermobile, but so like flexibility is real easy for me. But that means I end up really injured because I don't know when to stop. My body goes, I'm just keep going. So if you're looking to strengthen your core, if you're looking to, if you know you're hypermobile and you're looking to stabilize the vessel, it's a beautiful way to do it. If you are looking to generate mobility and flexibility, particularly in the joints, particularly as we all progress in our ages, the fluidity of the spine, the mobility, its capacity to undulate and move is one of the hugest pieces as we mature for our health and wellness. And it tends to the spine because it's core work. So it really, you know, it does. It sounds like this magic thing, but it can be what your body needs, which is why I love it so much, because I have taught a ton of formats. I am certified in many. I was a strength and conditioning coach. I've worked with power lifters. I've worked with elite athletes, professional athletes. And it really tends to what that vessel needs in this fascinating way. So it's very different to each person, what it produces and what it does, but it's the only movement format I have ever experienced that can speak to any and every other format. I would not argue the same. And I'm an avid yogi, but it's very difficult to take yoga and apply it. Our marketing has done that, you know, but Pilates is really like a sport secret weapon. It's like, it just improves the athletics and the athlete by giving them more stability.
And that's what, when you initially told me that, that's what I found so attractive. And I was like, I need to take a deeper look into this because I like to lift weights. So just the idea of improving core strength and all the benefits, it makes it so attractive to me. Now, you mentioned, you know, from a wellness perspective, let's say you got a lady out here that's, you know, getting a little older. We all are. And may not be lifting weights, may not be involved in any kind of other exercise routine. What benefits would it have for her? Can she get something out of it, you know, from a wellness standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. So because it balances, you know, loosens what's tight and tightens what's loose, it actually, Pilates becomes more interesting as we age and as we progress, because there's so much focus on our actual balance and on our joint mobility, you know, that these things just become even more interesting on the mat. One of the greatest pieces is that it is accessible now more so than ever. It's such a huge component of circulation in the vessel, I think. So we talk so much about like strengthening, and when we think of fitness, we think of elite athletes and we think of like how to progress and how to be this elite version of an athlete. But when we're looking for wellness, we're looking to not have our back hurt, right? Like we're looking to be able to carry our groceries in without there being a pain, you know, a strain or an issue. We don't want compression in the joints. We're looking to avoid getting arthritis, or if we've got it, which I do, right? Most athletes have it because of repetitive use. So Pilates has this focus on opening the joints, like creating length in the vessel, particularly around the joints. So that's each and every one of your vertebra, right? These are like, you know, your knuckles, your wrists, your ankles, and then strengthening the muscles around that lengthened position. So it creates, right? We're going to get some comments about that, length in the vessel. But what it's doing is it's strengthening the muscles, ligaments, and tendons to hold space for the joints. So as we progress, because gravity, we know, takes its toll on us, we get shorter as we age, right? This is when slip disc and compression happens. That L4, L5 with how much we're sitting, you know, is like squished. And every time you practice Pilates, it at least gets that breath of opening. And when you open that space, particularly in the spine, it allows the intervertebral discs to plump because we've got the blood flow circulating. Like circulation, so this is one of my favorite little bits of, like, as we age, what becomes really important is that we may be moving less. We didn't move enough at certain ages and stages, so then we're scared to start something. But the body is built to move. Like, it's a physical vessel. So it, when it moves, it's happy, right? So when you have rotation in the body, right, if you do a little seated twist or standing twist, that sends blood flow and oxygen into those intervertebral discs. And it goes, and it makes them happy. They dry up and get all squishy and start to crumble when they're stagnant. And then, like, the, you know, the vertebrae are squishing it like a little sandwich. So I love Pilates now, but it just becomes more interesting and more useful as we age. And again, I've had a really interesting career that for a very long period of time, my clients were really in the age span of 45 to 70 coming in. And it's just so beautifully suited for us as we progress.
Oh, I love that because I'm in that age group.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been practicing since I was 18. I'm 43 now. And I really see it as such a gift to have spent so much time with that age demographic and still do. Like, our members on my site are a huge spectrum of ages and stages. And I always teach from a multi-level perspective because when we teach in beginner, intermediate, or advanced, we have these concepts of what beginner, intermediate, advanced are that are really, you know, there's like this mind meld of patriarchy, you know, indoctrinated in us of like, oh, that's advanced, I could never. Or people who are fit and we go, oh, I lift, I could totally do that. Meanwhile, the answer is no to both of them. Like, so I like to cue from a place of connect this and do this, let your brain and your body have that conversation, whatever it produces, to try to dispel this beginner, intermediate, bit like competition in the vessel versus evolution and discovery.
Okay, perfect. Now you touched on, and I want the listeners to know exactly where they can go. It might be a little early on in this conversation. The conversation is not over, Tandy, but you touched on your website, your site. So I want the listeners to know about Unicorn Wellness and what is, you know, what you do and what you offer and how it can help us with our wellness.
Yeah, thank you for letting me share it. UnicornWellnessStudio.com. We launched an online offering in 2013, which is way before it was cool. And everyone thought I'd lost my mind. And I left a very high profile role, you know, as a regional manager and teacher trainer and for a very well-known company. But part of that exit was to offer something, particularly Pilates, high-end elite coaching. I was coaching celebrities, their attorneys, their agents, right? Like back in the day, you could only take a lesson if you were could invest $95 to, you know, $350 an hour to work with me. And right?
Wow.
Right. And that was in the Wayback Machine. And so there really was an awareness that even I, as where I was in my career, sometimes couldn't afford to take classes with the people I wanted to take classes with. I had, you know, kids and we lived in LA. So it was like a thing. So we left. There's a couple of reasons for launching it, but we launched an online business because I wanted accessibility. I wanted there to be a price point to these elite practices. And it really was ahead of the curve, honestly. And so there was this piece of everyone should have at least, you know, accessibility or an opportunity to accessibility, like a monthly price point that was on par with a fitness membership and a gym, but gave you the experience of an elite high level celebrity, you know, trainer, but mostly just a really experienced trainer. So on the site, I offer 30-minute mat-based movements. They are Pilates-based. You'll see some yoga in there because you will see functional movement pieces because I was a strength and conditioning coach for a very long time. My goal is to heal the vessel and to do it in these small, incremental, microdosed places and spaces, 30 minutes at a time, so you have consistency that you can keep coming back and building, right, that practice. Because the one and done or the 30, 60, 90 – That's not what I do. I teach to the long game. And so there are 30-minute movement practices. We have a whole week of constructive rest that is all stretches, because in a personal training cycle, you have a 4-week training cycle. One of those weeks is constructive rest. It doesn't mean do nothing. It just means lighten the load so that your vessel can calibrate and really synthesize the strength work you've done prior. So changes in the body actually happen in a rest stage. They don't happen in our workout, which people go, what? And this is really why people don't get results on their own, you know, or they overdo it and they can't understand why the vessel's not transitioning, right? Whether that's strength, whether that's mobility, or whether that's releasing additional weight from the vessel. It's because they don't have a rest stage. More is not better. It's like how we speak to the long game. So they have a full macro micro cycle 4-week training program on the site. I do a 15-minute guided meditation. If you're into the Reiki healing, it can also be an energetic healing if you're open to it by proxy. And I also offer new and full moon tarot readings and energy forecasts, because the 4-week training cycle is overlaid with the moon cycles. So again, we have this huge spectrum of members there for like the Pilates and the training. And then we have all of the spiritual seekers that are like super into the moon cycles and go, I get it. And I get the energetics. And this helps them cultivate a wellness program that supports that from the physical standpoint as well.
Okay. So I love all of this. So
it's a lot.
Let me start. Okay. So let me make sure I understand. I have questions. All right. So you mentioned that there is a 4-week cycle. I'm assuming during the first 3 weeks, are they doing 30-minute sessions every day, or is that 5 days a week?
So the way I cycle this is that for best results on the site, it is best optimal to be practicing 4 to 7 days a week. You will see results, you will make progress, you'll feel the progress. But I also highly encourage those who are coming from doing nothing to, you know, stepping into a 4-day a week program when you've done nothing is not optimal. My goal is for you to feel supported, make progress on your own time. So if you're doing 2 a week, that's 30-minute mat workouts, that is consistency and that is progress. And it will lead to something. It'll just take a little bit longer to get to the result. So some of our members practice 7 days a week. I don't practice 7 days a week. But I am in that window between 4 and 7, depending on the season.
Okay. And then you also mentioned the tarot reading prong, and I think Reiki healing. I want to hear about that. So tell us more, because that's very different. A lot of times you see people online that it's just the exercises or whatever they're teaching, but they're not incorporating any other wellness aspects. So please tell us more about that.
Absolutely. I'm a very spiritual being. I'm an intuitive psychic. I definitely have a relationship with the universe and have since my childhood. My grandmother was very deep in relationship with the archangels. You know, I was raised in a religious family, but my spiritual connection has really evolved on its own. And I am very sensitive and very in tune. And I, at a certain point, really found that I couldn't participate in fitness classes, courses, wellness pieces, because they were out of alignment with the energetics at play. So that's number one. I definitely was, you know, I do think it was divine insight that was like this aha that the moon cycles are 4 weeks and a training cycle is 4 weeks. What happens if you overlay those? Right? You're working the science and the astrology of it. it really tended to my vessel in a very particularly empowering way. And when I started to implement that with my clients and then with our members, it was so, it was like a little mind blowing. It was like so beautiful. There was a softness to how things went. And we tend to hear our members say, I have stuck with this program longer than I have anything else, right? Because it's digestible those 30 minutes at a time. And because it speaks to their soul and the energetics. So it's a deeply personal practice full of a ton of love, a lot of grace, you know, and that empowerment from within of feeling enough. I don't need to be the elite athlete or the fitness guru. I just need to get on the mat and tend to my wellness. And for me, getting on the mat for our clients, it's really about our mental health, honestly. The physical is the byproduct. And I've personally gone through a lot of trauma in my lifetime and some big things that I could not have survived and continue to process. If we're familiar with somatic healing, right? The body keeps the score. Dear Dr. Vanderkolk, right? Mm-hmm. that it is stashed in the vessel. So fitness and wellness is different than healing, right? And so I layered the Reiki healing into the movement patterns as well as the energetics because it's what I needed and continue to need in my life. And it's what I have seen has allowed our clients and members to really progress, to heal, to move forward and unfold in these beautiful ways I never witnessed and couldn't hold space for in a fitness format.
Right. And I love that because I find, especially this time of year, new me, I've been quite troubled by how folks aren't getting that it's all connected. Like you, for example, I've got clients that have weight loss goals and that's great, but I'm trying to encourage them to look at the entire picture, how everything is connected. And, you know, I don't think a lot of them are getting that, you know, and which keeps them on these yo-yo diets and in this confusion, you know, they're not tending to their whole being, the mental, the spiritual, and it's all connected. So I love how you have created this in your wellness, I mean, in your practice, because it just gives such a rich experience. I just love that, Tandy. I do.
I appreciate it so much. I just appreciate it, right? Because I did come from a fitness background. I came from a performance-based background, like as an athlete, you know, that's only looking and being looked at for the outcome, the goal, and mostly the aesthetics. And as women, that's a hard sell as it is. And it just got exhausting, mm-hmm. you know? And I do feel that Pilates kept finding me this path of integrating and having an option that is holistic, that is soul connected in your wellness, body, mind, and soul. So much of that is so quick and like the blurb, you know, the sound bite that we've lost its meaning. And so it has been this weird lane to be in because Pilates is not considered spiritual. And in fact, a lot of people go to Pilates because it isn't affiliated, right? But anything deeply healing is spiritual, right? It is connected to our spirit and our soul. And then so much of our collective just leans on yoga too heavily. And the way we have co-opted and appropriated the work, I'm still working my way through how to mindfully and responsibly teach the pieces of it. But so much of it is just appropriated. It's one limb of yoga. So we're not actually practicing yoga when we practice Pilates. We're practicing the asanas. And when they're pulled from the full eight limbs, it's not. Then it's just a fitness format. And I'm a yogi at heart for sure, but it's also not taught very well. It can be very compressive on the joints. There are excellent teachers out there. I know them. I know some of them. But as a spectrum, it's kind of like, oh, you hurt. Oh, you need to heal. Go to yoga. And I'm like, no, no, no. We can get you there. But go to Pilates first, get the foundation, then move into it. So I think any good entrepreneur creates what they want to solve in the world, what they wish to see. And I did. I coached and had clients for years in that clearly specific fitness realm. And it just was impossible to make changes, honestly, until they were willing to address the internal wounds and traumas and emotions or intellectual, you know, bindings. But when people are willing to look a little bit deeper and get curious and a little woo-woo and magical and whatever you want to call it, like, I don't care what language, but let's get deeper. Let's have a deeper conversation. Let's have a more connected work, you know, that what we do on the mat is reflected out in the collective and off of the mat. And it's a deeply personal process. I find I do mean it as an act of activism of how I teach. I want people to be more mindful. I'm here to hold space for that. And I hope that they see that by taking the labels of beginner, intermediate, and advanced, and like, I have to do things for an hour and a half, and this mode of perfectionism off of it, that it helps mature us and move us forward and heal us as a collective.
Oh gosh, I love this. I love every aspect of it, Tandy.
So glad.
Now, one thing I want to share with the listeners, if you don't mind, one thing you and I share in common is we have both been diagnosed with autoimmune diseases. And I would love you to share how some things you found helpful in that journey with your, you know, building a business and just with your Pilates practice, the whole thing, because I think a lot of times people look at this label of autoimmune or whatever they may have been diagnosed with as a means or a reason why they can't do certain things.
Yes.
You know?
Well, it's real. Autoimmune issues are so mysterious, right? And I'm 10 years into an actual diagnosis, which is big, but you know, so I have celiac, IBS, and I had a thyroidectomy. And so it's like an average of 9 to 12 years to be diagnosed because it's sneaky. It builds up, it's low grade over time. So you just spend a whole lot of time feeling terrible. And for myself, I did have health insurance in these ages and stages. I had the privilege of white skin. You know, I could go to different facilities and I did, but everyone told me I was crazy, that I was stressed, that I needed antidepressants. They all handed me, you know, prescription. It gaslit me to a space where I was like, well, maybe I am depressed and I need antidepressants. Took them, it made everything worse. And so my journey was long and still continuing. We know so much more now. There is better information out there, clearly, with time and science. But when I was in that stage, it was not well known. And I felt very passed over as a female. I felt like I had to scream in order to advocate for myself, that I had to be a bitch about it and ask 10 times and force the issue of like, I actually don't feel well. This is what's going on. We need to keep testing. Within that process of all the practical pieces, you know, I started to, like you hear everybody do, I started tinkering with my own stuff of like what's going to work and what's not going to work. And so following my intuition and the guidance of research and the universe, I started only doing 30-minute workouts. And so the interesting thing about my path is that I'll have a ping, like the intuition, the message will come through and I trust it and I'll just do it. And then like the research comes out later and I'm like, that's why, you know, there's confirmation. Those with autoimmune issues, it is, I would say, imperative to, in the initial healing stages, like when you are really feeling terrible, to stick to a 30-minute movement pattern. Workouts are stress on the vessel. That's their definition. That's what they're meant to do. Past the 30-minute mark, you start to produce cortisol. It's a part of the bargain. But for those of us with autoimmune issues that fire the immune system, it fires on itself, it gets confused. It needs more rest and it needs to be recalibrated as what is work, what is rest, what is stress, what is not. Like, when do we sound the alarms and when do we don't? When I switched to 30-minute movement patterns, it changed my life. I no longer had chronic fatigue. Like it just, it took time. Don't get me wrong. It was not overnight, but I was really committed to it. And as an athlete and in the industry, you know, an hour workout, an hour and a half, you know, a 90 minute yoga class, you know, a 2 hour or something was totally normal. And it blew my system out. And so this 30 minutes is like, well, we're in it for the long game. We brush our teeth every day. We're going to get on the mat more days than not. That allowed my system to calm in order to heal. The second piece that I think is transformational for those with autoimmune issues is your food code, cracking your food code. Knowing what works for your body versus what everybody's trying to shove down you or sell you is, again, that saved my life more than anything else. So I have a 41-day food reset that I wrote for myself because I had tried one of everything. They all offered something, but they didn't really fix anything. And so my 41-day food reset saved my life because instead of me trying to fit into somebody else's food code, I cracked my own that allowed me to finally heal. So those with celiac or leaky gut or gut issues, but autoimmune issues, again, you have to teach your vessel. It's okay to calm down. It's okay to be safe, right? You don't have to fire on yourself. The food is how we nourish, right? How do we nourish ourselves? How do we bolster? So for autoimmune vessels, 30-minute movement patterns, cracking your own food code, really sticking to it, and this work-rest balance, which we're all seeking in a modern life, but rest is imperative. Self-care just became everything. Clearly why I teach what I teach, because if I don't practice it, this is a distinctly different vessel and a distinctly different person. I am depressed. I am exhausted. I am overrun with anxiety. I still manage depression and anxiety for sure, but I do it without medication and I know how to create space. You know, it's interesting because we are on this 10-year spectrum of healing now. I'm so different than I was 10 years ago. I was really unwell. I was terrified I was going to die or have organ failure. And so these self-care pieces, if we're willing to take care of ourselves and respect the vessel and teach the vessel, it in turn teaches our soul. You know, so we go back to the spiritual connection of, we could do the breakdown of autoimmune issues. You know, it's not safe to process food. It's not safe to receive nourishment. I was a highly abused child, right? And so you see how these things start to play out in the body. I had to teach my vessel that it was okay to receive nutrients, that it was okay to heal, you know? So stress is a fascinating piece of the process, and peace is a fascinating piece of the process.
Yeah, I mean, you got me just thinking about my journey and tearing up listening to you, because I didn't have, I mean, I was stressed out. I mean, looking back, and I wasn't all that exhausted, but I was tired. But I looked at it as, well, work stress, mommy stress, life stress, you know?
Really?
But I had all these little minor symptoms that once I got diagnosed, I realized, oh gosh, that's, you know, like my skin was dry and itchy. I mean, extremely so. Like it would keep me up at night, you know, almost like eczema. I mean, which is a symptom of Hashimoto's. Mm-hmm. Of course, I had the high stress. I know I'm gluten sensitive. I didn't know that at the time. But it was all these little things, you know, so I'm running to the dermatologist about my skin, you know, going to all these different doctors. And nobody's making the connection.
Totally.
You know, totally. And, you know, the dermatologist, oh my God, she told me, well, your skin, you need to stop taking so many showers a day.
Like, yeah.
That's, and I was just like,
what I got going on here.
What? Don't shower every day. That's why your skin is dry. So needless to say, I didn't go back to her, but the universe works in, you know, I went in for my yearly exam with my OBGYN and I told her, you know, I'm feeling tired, da, da, da. And she said, well, let's run, you know, let's do some blood tests. And she actually is the one who caught it, my OBGYN.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. It's fascinating, right? Just when I was really symptomatic, it was after the birth of my first son. And then it got worse after the birth of the second also. But I had a nodule on my thyroid that we knew was there. They discovered it when I was 18. But no one had ever tested my thyroid panels. Everybody was all worried that it was cancer. So they sent me to have the fine needle aspiration, you know, every 5 years. Meanwhile, I was going to different doctors all over the place, right? It wasn't until my second pregnancy that my midwife said the same thing. They tested my thyroid panels and my TSH. I mean, if anybody knows the numbers game of it, it was less than 0.001%. It was completely burnt out. Mm-hmm. She was freaking out. She looked at me and she goes, why are you not having thyroid storms? Like, she was kind of looking at me like, how are you alive right now? And I was like, I don't know, but I had already started that path of like ditching gluten just in case it helped. And it did help. It created a huge upswing. You know, I was transitioning into more organic foods and off of less, you know, produced product food kind of stuff. But it was the same scenario of like going, I was pleading in doctor's spaces. I had an endocrinologist write me a prescription once, and I'm going to say this, it was a older white male and hand me a prescription for an antidepressant. He's not a psychologist or, you know, like I was like, seriously? I don't think I've ever, well, yeah, I have, but it was one of those moments where I'd never been angrier or felt more dismissed in my whole life. And this is a really common story. That's where you and I connected so deeply because I thought this story just keeps coming up over and over again.
Right.
And yeah.
The endocrinologist that, well, by the time I got in to see him, I had pretty much figured out, diagnosed myself. But
totally.
The endocrinologist that officially gave me the diagnosis was so dismissive. And Tandy, I'm telling you, I felt before I was diagnosed, when I would get stressed out, I could feel tightness in my throat. Yeah. And I remember mentioning it to my mom. And I wasn't making the connections at the time, but I asked him about that. Is that why sometimes I feel, no, that's ridiculous?
I'm crazy. Right?
I've since learned that you can sometimes feel.
Yes.
You know, the tightness. And then he said, don't worry, my wife has Hashimoto's and you're not going to have any more kids, or you know, you'll be fine. Eventually your thyroid will just burn out and we'll have to remove it. And I was like, what?
No.
Yeah, that's what he said to me.
Oh, no. Oh.
So I was like, okay, won't be going back to you anymore.
Yeah.
But he didn't offer me any alternatives, like maybe remove gluten, nothing. All of this I had to learn on my own, you know.
This is where I've had this conversation a lot, like in the autoimmune community, and when I do have moments of being able to educate about it, is that Western medicine serves a great purpose for like emergency-based practices. And Western medicine has its place. I've had a thyroidectomy. I'm on medication daily for the rest of my life. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. They're not taught. They're not skilled in these other ways. It's not holistic medicine. It doesn't look at it at the whole, but the vessel functions as a whole. So what you eat does matter. How much you're sleeping does matter. How much water you're drinking, it does matter. And so this is why I wrote my reset, and I quit teaching it a lot because I got so irritated with everybody being like, prove it and this and this and that. And I'm like, look, I don't need to prove anything, y'all. If it works and if it resonates for you, it is a do no harm sort of thing. And it saved my life. That's all. I wrote it for me. Y'all asked me to share it, members, you know, but it's like this idea that food doesn't contribute to how we're feeling, or that the stressors in our life or what we're feeling in our, again, this like gaslighting you that you don't feel what you feel and it doesn't matter. Yeah, it does. If it's tight in your throat, there's something there. Follow that.
Right. Right. So it's just been, you know, we got a lot of work to do.
So much.
That's why I try to do this podcast, because I want women in particular to pay attention and to do your research. You know, like you said, they're most of, you know, traditionally trained physicians just simply don't know.
Yeah.
I can't really explain that, but they don't. But you got to dig deeper. And, you know, I had to restructure my entire life, you know, and I'm happy to do it.
Yep.
The pandemic hit shortly after I was diagnosed. It allowed me to slow down. You know, I know that stress is a major contributing factor for me, and I had to let some things go. And like you said, the rest, I'm still working on the rest part, but the rest is so important. It is so important.
It's just a process. And, you know, again, the launching of our online studio came with, you know, after my thyroidectomy, because I was trying to figure out how to still give my gifts in the world, how to contribute to my household as an income earner, how to be a mom of two in, you know, and a stepmom to a third. And going back somewhere with my energy levels and my sensitivities just felt like a death sentence to me.
Yes.
It really did. That sounds grandiose, but it is very true. I just knew I couldn't do it anymore. I was in such a place. I was like 104 pounds. I'm 5'5½". You know, that's not okay. It was not okay. But everybody pretended like it was okay because I was a skinny white girl in a fitness facility. So skinny must mean good. And I was like, y'all, no. I mean, there were just so many pieces of like truth that were just not okay. So launching the online offering allowed me to, and still does, to control my schedule for when I am a little out of whack, when I have to create more space and to still show up in the world. And as someone with autoimmune issues in New York, when the pandemic hit, I was actually really grateful for a period of time for it to be quiet and for people to calm down. And there are so many of these pieces, right? There's a universal gift in all of this chaos too, to be more connected to the vessel, to tend to the vessel more, to not be so busy, to have the time to evaluate what's really worthwhile. And as mothers, that's extra. And that is extra in a pandemic. I mean, the amount of parenting in the last few years. So when you say like, still working on rest, I'm continually working on rest. I do really well. And other people will hear my schedule and be like, wow, wouldn't that be nice? And I'm like, it took me 12 years to cultivate this lifestyle, a life by design. And there were big risks in it. Launching an online program at that time was a risk, you know. It's still a risk now because it's so noisy, because Irvine wants to launch something online. And I love the accessibility and the connectability of it, but I'm like, I have been here for 9 years, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. I love your story, not only because you're, you know, you're a Pilates teacher, you're helping women get, you know, healthier in that end, but your story is also about empowerment, you know, not only for other women, but how you took control of your own life for your own health. And I think that's an important story for women to hear, that it's okay. It's not just about going to, you know, jog for 30 minutes or whatever it is you like to do, yoga, weightlifting. You got to take control and be empowered. And if your lifestyle isn't working for you in some way, it's okay to make changes. Like, it's okay. In my case, I, you know, took a position that I might not be paid as handsomely as others, but I can work from home some days. You know, I don't have to deal with the stress of the traffic. I can pick up my daughter from school at 3. You know, I can slow down. You know, I can take a nap. Hush, hush. Hopefully nobody will hear it. If I'm exhausted, you know, during the day to rejuvenate, you know.
But again, this is empowerment is the absolute name of the game, right? In when you get into the woo-woo spirituality, this is sovereignty. This is the goddess nature of I make the choices that are right for me, not based on the side eye or the cultural norms. And the fact is our cultural norms are so out of balance. The expectations of what we should be, should, we can should all over ourselves, right? And so it is, you know, personal political activism to stop and go, that doesn't work for me. And I need it to go this way. And I'm going to start making those tiny changes towards that. Because, you know, even with the diagnosis, your lifestyle, if you're willing to make the changes and capable of making some big swings at them, right? They don't happen overnight. And so this is the whole thing. I think as a culture, we've just gotten, I mean, so polarized, but also so quick fix, right? We just assume things happen like that. And they actually don't. All things happen in these tiny increments repeated over time. Even the good stuff. And we forget that. And so I will talk big and I live in these big spaces and I want big things for women and the collective, but they happen in these really tiny, quiet ways. And for whatever reason, my path has been to teach it through Pilates, on the mat, in the meditation, through the tarot, to get us quieter, to get us back to ourselves on our own terms, and then be able to make choices. Now, I choose to do this because this works for me. I don't choose to do this anymore because it doesn't work for me anymore, right? There were so many people that said all kinds of strange things when I finally got diagnosed and I finally had a thyroidectomy. Well, aren't you so glad? I kind of wish I had an autoimmune issue because then I would have to make those choices with my food.
What?
So many weird things. You know, yeah, that was my reaction too. Like my jaw was like, what? No, that's the thing. We can make these choices. It's a choice. And I have warriored really hard for myself. How? There is no other answer but universal spirit that continues to move through me. I don't know why I listened. I don't know why it's always been so loud, right? I didn't have parents who warriored for me in that way. I'm adopted. There's all kinds of, you know, wounds there about it. But I was relentless with trying to figure things out. And I know it's not an easy thing. It wasn't easy for me to do. I mean, I have been dismissed and been told I was silly and stressed and, you know, basically incapable at so many turns. And the truth is that our intuition, our vessels, our body, our hearts, our souls, when we turn in, it might not always be 100% accurate, but it will send you in the proper direction. You know, just again, case in point, your throat, that tightness, you knew, your vessel knew. It was like trying to tell you, and that was the best way it could get to it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I just wasn't making the connection.
Totally.
And I didn't want to scare my mom, but I finally mentioned it to her thinking, you know, I think my mom knows everything, thinking, oh, she's going to tell me what it is, you know? And she was just like, I don't know, you know, but, yeah. You know, maybe 2 months later, I figured it out.
Yeah. Well, this is it. And again, why I teach vessel work. I mean, I teach the spectrum of things, but the body is so powerful, right? The body, the vessel is an excellent communicator. Excellent, actually. What's not so excellent is our translation, right? Because we're human, our brains get into it, there's skin in the game. But the more we learn to listen to it and to follow it, like you did, the more accurate the translations get.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important. It's so important to just sit down and listen. Because like you said, the universe will tell us, the body will tell us.
It really will. I learn it over and over. About the time I'm you know, I'm human and man, the lessons keep coming and I'm like, I'm gonna quit. I don't know what's going on in the world anymore. This is crazy. I go back to the mat and I go back to the vessel into the body and I feel rewarded and so grateful, you know, to be human and to be in an incarnation really is magic. I mean, you can call it whatever you want, but it's so weird. We have this skin suit. The heart is beating by itself. Like, what is happening? You know, it's worth it. It is a magical mystery tour of things. And it is a mess. But there is magic in the mess.
Tandy, thank you so much. I don't want this conversation to end. We got to bring you on for a part two. I love this.
I would love to.
I love chatting with you today. I think this is going to be super helpful to all of the listeners. And I am immensely grateful that you came on.
Well, I'm so grateful we connected. I love you so much. I love your energy. I'm grateful for this conversation. I am always in massive gratitude for people who get the soul-centric work of things.
Yeah.
It's powerful, it's important, and it's still kind of this quiet underdog of trying to explain why it might be a great path for someone. But this has just been my experience in this lifetime. And the autoimmune issues alone, I don't want anybody to feel alone in that process. I felt so lonely. I felt so gaslit and disempowered and sad and tired. It makes my heart hurt to think that anybody feels that way in anything, right? So if there's just this moment and corner to help reconnect someone to go, you're not alone. You're not the only one that, you know, like let's support you. What can we do right now?
Right.
How can we make this better in this moment?
Well, it was so shocking to me when I learned and I just started sharing it with people, how many people I knew. You know, not just folks, you know, you see here, and people I knew had been diagnosed and I had no idea.
Mm.
So we are suffering like in silence.
Yep. That's a whole nother podcast.
Right. we're not communicating with each other. We're not sharing, you know, we just say, well, my doctor said I need to take this med and, you know.
And just go on.
Right.
I mean, my journey was so long, right? Like that's even a whole nother thing is that I got diagnosed. They put me on medication. The medication made things worse because the medication had gluten in it.
Ah.
Right? So like there's these levels and conversations. And again, we think that people know these things or because we know it now. And it's so important and powerful to have these conversations, right? Because somebody's listening and they go, well, I don't have thyroid issues. You may not. But you can keep an eye on your sister or your BFF or your brother or your dad. And then your vessel and your intuition will start to put pieces together.
Right.
Or this thing.
Or you may have thyroid issues. Absolutely. And you're being dismissed, you know?
Totally. I mean, the advocacy that women have to do is, I'm still blown away by it. And it can be better when you have a female doctor, right? If you get lucky enough to. But that doesn't always guarantee it either. It's just because the Western system just doesn't listen.
No. Oh, Tandy, thank you. I know you're a busy woman. We got to get you back to getting all your women together with Unicorn Wellness. I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I am so grateful. Thank you. Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, Go Hard Chicks. Another great episode, this time with Go Hard Chick, Tandy Gutierrez. Go Hard Chicks, make sure you check out Tandy's website, unicornwellnessstudio.com, where she offers Pilates classes. I've already started to explore the website, and I am really blown away by her offerings. Once again, Go Hard Chicks, sign up for my email list. Visit my website, gohardchick.com. to sign up and to explore everything else I have going on. Thank you for listening, Go Hard Chicks. Until next time, take care.